Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge.
Hi, everyone. And this is the Been There, Done That podcast with your host, Angela Dunn Cartledge. And I am so happy to have with us our special guest today, Utkarsh Narang. And he is our esteemed guest today. Like I said, I am so excited to be here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Angela, for having me here. It's truly a joy to be here and have this conversation with you. And when you use the word esteemed, it puts a little bit of that pressure to add value today. I'm going to try that, and I'm going to have a beautiful conversation with you that'll add value to your listeners.
Perfect. That is exactly what I want. Like I said, we've spoken a little bit before this, and I'm really excited to open up the floor to you. Tell us a little bit about why you're here, what your healing experiences looked like, and then we'll continue the conversation from there.
Perfect. It's been a long journey, 39 years on the planet, out of which the first 18, 19, I can say that there was someone who asked me, Utkarsh, how's your childhood? And actually, there was no trauma. It was a childhood that was beautiful. It was always focused on this idea that what can make me happy. And my parents allowed me to have that space where I could find joy in that pursuit. But I think what that also did, Angela, was that it set in my mind this idea that life's all about chasing happiness and life's all about going in the direction where your heart takes you. And so I had parents who were both doctors. And when you're growing up in India, then this is almost like put onto you that Utkarsh, if your parents are doctors, you got to become a doctor too. And I was not never kind of compelled to do it, but the idea was fed from a very early stage. And so it became that was my future, that I have to become one. And I ended up being a master's in orthopedic physical therapy, had 3 clinics back home in Delhi, India, and they were going really well. And I could have been that and been there for forever. But this pursuit of happiness, this pursuit of what success looks like for me, put me into different places on the planet. And I started to search, like, what else could I do with my life? And which is when I met a professor at Columbia Business School in New York, started to film and edit for them, which was a leap from where I was. The journey continued, got into sales and operations for that institute. And it was truly a joy till about COVID came to our planet and the pandemic changed it all. Because in that moment, there was this fear of death. And that fear of death told me that, Utkarsh, you have bigger dreams. So why don't you take the leap? And so I took the leap, started to become a coach, a facilitator, content creator. And that's what I do now. And then last year, my wife and I decided that it was time for one more leap. And we moved halfway across the world from Delhi, India, to now living in Melbourne, Australia. So Angela, I'm actually in the future, and the future looks amazing. But you know, after going through all this journey, part of me wants to say that I've been there and I've done that. But it makes me feel that anything is possible in the next moment. And I really don't know what's going to happen in the future. And so I think I've learned over the years, Angela, that the only way to live this life is actually to build it one day at a time. And it just takes away the pressure of trying to have this in the future and that in the future and be there. And all of that puts a lot of overthinking, puts a lot of anxiety, puts a lot of this fear that what am I going to make my future about? And I think over the years, I've realized that there's not really too much emphasis to be put on that. And you got to live one day at a time.
I see that so much that to be present, I should say, is really the only way to heal. So being in the present, that one day at a time, is so powerful because you are actually focused on what can I do in the here and now? What can I do for myself? What can I do for my family? What can I do right now for that moment?
I think the first step is to just take a deep breath. And just be, because it's okay for what's happened, and it's okay for where the journey is taking you. And one thing that really resonates with me is Gandhi used to say that when I sleep at night, I die, and then I'm born again the next day. No one again knows, Angela, what path is right. Is it yours? Is it mine? Is it the others that are living on the planet right now, breathing and doing beautiful things? So world's nothing but 8 billion perceptions. And each one of us trying to say that my perception is better than yours. But is it really?
And that's even using your Gandhi example, which is such a beautiful, that was very powerful to hear. The next second that I'm alive, I'm reborn. Every moment that I'm here, I can have another experience if I choose to. That is such a cool way to think about it, in that, again, there's no judgment there. It's simply, this is another second. This is another minute. This is another hour. Wow, that's really cool. Where do you see the journey of mental health taking us as a humanity right now? Where do you see the beauty and the joy emerging? What do you see, I guess, evolving right now in us as humans?
It's as you ask that question, that these different parts of me that want to kind of answer it very differently. The first thing is, see, mental health did not just come into existence like a few years ago, or did not happen to be the prime focus of our thinking and our aspect of our health that we should have looked at. Yes, we've been looking at physical health for years. We have been looking at emotional health now for decades. But mental health became something that came into like larger existence very recently, which should not have been the case. It has been something that our mind has been with us for since the time we were on this planet, and did not kind of change and shift. So that's one. The second is, I think it's also becoming a sense where I see a lot of check boxes being ticked. And what I mean by that is that, yes, it's important, but do really people think it's important? Do really people focus on its importance? And I'll give you an example from the corporate world. Because when I go and coach people, I work with startups, I see that, we'll do the webinar on Mental Health Day, which is about a month from now when we're recording this. But when we come to work every day, we expect our people to do 14-hour days, because that's the only way we'll grow as a company. And so there's this dual nature of mental health that I think is being used well, but it's also being abused. And I think we have to come to this situation where, and I very strongly feel that again, my whole core philosophy, Angela, is that you got to take ownership of your thing. You got to take ownership of everything that relates and pertains to you. What I mean by that is, if your mental health is being challenged by anything that's happening on the outside, you got to pause and really reflect that, is it worth the path that you're on? Don't expect your employer, your mom, your dad, your spouse, your dear friend, your children. Don't expect others to support you before you support yourself. And what I mean by that is that if you're working at a startup, or if you're in a situation where you feel your mental health is getting deteriorated or eroded or challenged, but you're okay with that compromise because you feel that the reward is higher on the other side, then it's you who's taking ownership of that. And so find ways to strengthen that mental health. But you feel that this is not the right place for me. I cannot compromise on this. I have the clarity that this is not success for me. Then it's time to make that shift, make that change. But for that, just start to learn to be kind to yourself. There is no other way to step out of that zone unless you learn to be kind to yourself.
But what I hear in that is, again, not judgment, but more confidence in your ability to make that decision for yourself, and that you can say, I am the only one that knows what my experience is. I'm the only one that can actually communicate that to someone else, but actually make decisions based on it as well. And that is something I don't know that we give ourselves permission to do. And so that is really powerful to hear, that we can give ourselves permission to simply make a decision based on our own experience, period. Nothing else, no comparison, no judgment, no culture, no society, no whatever else that looks like. Simply make a call based on our experience and have the confidence to be able to step forth from that. That's big time.
And it's easier said than done. Because how we've raised ourselves over the last decades and centuries is that we have always wanted to do things to show thy neighbor. We've always done things to tell our parents that, see, we succeeded. I still meet coaches, Angela, who are working at the largest tech companies in the world, and they cannot go and have conversations with their managers because in their head, voice of their mother, when they were 8 years old, is still echoing and telling them, you did not succeed in your class. You did not score 100%. What the hell is wrong with you? And is there something really wrong with them? I don't think so. But we've not been taught to think of ourselves. We've not, and I'm not asking us to become selfish and say that I don't care about Angela and I don't care about my husband and I don't care about my spouse and I don't care about my wife. And no. What I'm saying is start to care about yourself. And if your glass is full, then you'll pour it into everyone else around you. And so work on that so strongly that you can give yourself the permission, because who's going to stop you? You know, when I quit my job and I did that in the middle of the pandemic, and everyone told me, Utkarsh, there is something really wrong with you. But I told them on like my wife and my parents, and I know they're always there. They're unconditionally there. That's the bond that we've built over the years. And I'm grateful for that. And that allowed me to take all the leaps and the bounds and the leap of faith that I've taken in life. But there's this one statement that came to me while I was being coached before I became a coach to others, which said, if not me, then who? And if not now, then when? And I still have it right there across me on the wall. I've carried it over the last 5 years and hopefully will carry it to my deathbed. I should probably get it tattooed as I'm speaking to you. I might make a note of that. But that statement just tells me that I got to take ownership of my journey, of my destiny, because no one else gets that right. And I'll serve others on that path because that's what brings me joy. That's what human connection is all about. But I'll keep myself at the center of it.
That is just, I think, again, what strikes me about what we're talking about is that we don't give ourselves permission to do that. We, as you so eloquently said, we hear the other stories that were either created for us or that we decided along the way about ourselves, that we don't go back and challenge those stories. We don't go back and say, but wait, that was when I was 8. That's not true anymore. That's not the same thing. I made a bad decision when I was 30, but I asked for forgiveness. I moved on. I'm okay now. I don't have to live with that holding on to me still. Those kinds of moments where we can, as you've said, challenge the preconceived notions or the stories that we have told ourselves for however long. But with that, I find that you have to have an awareness that that exists. You have to see it. You have to be alerted to it so that when it comes up again, when you find yourself in that moment where you can hear your mother echoing in your mind again, you say, yeah, that doesn't apply to me anymore. I am now a grown up. I am no longer in school. It doesn't matter about those pieces anymore. I can make decisions for myself and I know what I want and what I can pursue that. Talk to us about awareness or identifying moments like that and how you coach your clients through that initial part of the process.
As you're sharing what you're sharing and asking this question, you know, when a story is coming to mind, so maybe I'll start with that and then I'll move to awareness. There was once a senior monk and the disciple, they were walking down a path. And as they were walking together, having a great chat about what they're going to do when they reach the monastery, they see that there's a river passing by and there's a woman standing near the river. And she's a beautiful, pretty woman. And so the woman comes to them and says that, oh, I want to cross this river, but it's too deep for me. Can you gentlemen, and she talks to the disciple, can you please pick me up and drop me to the other side? And the disciple says, oh, no, I cannot help you with that because if I touch you, then I might get thoughts which I don't want to and which might deviate me from my path of solitude and my meditation and this and that. And so he says, like, I cannot help you today. And so the woman thinks and turns to the senior monk and says that, sir, can you help me? And the senior monk says, absolutely, I can. And in that moment, the disciple is like, dumbfounded, like, wow, what's wrong with the teacher? He's going to touch that woman and he's going to pick her up and drop her on the other side. But the senior monk does that, picks the woman up, drops her to the other side, comes back, and they start walking. And as they're starting to walk towards the monastery, the disciple is like thinking in his head, like, am I with the right teacher? What's wrong with him? Why did he touch that woman? I'm pretty sure that he would be thinking about her now and this and that. And his thoughts are going down a spiral. And after a few miles, he says, teacher, I'm really upset right now. And the teacher said, senior monk, why? What makes you upset? And he says, why did you carry the woman and put her on the other side of the river? And the teacher says, I dropped her on the other side of the woman, of the river. But why are you still carrying her? We've come a few miles, but you're still carrying her in your head. I've dropped her and I've not thought about her since then. But you're the one who's carrying her. And so my question to all of us is, and including me, because I struggle with every single, there's no end outcome to our journeys. It's a journey. And then one day we pass on to this this planet and go to somewhere, I don't know where that is. But my question to all of us is that mother's voice when you were 7 years old, that trauma that happened to you at 28, that divorce that happened, a partner that passed away, cancer. There are so many challenges on this planet of ours. But why are you carrying them once they've passed? And I understand that's a journey. And I understand, Utkarsh, what the hell is wrong with you, man? You don't understand my trauma. And I don't. And I don't. I'm not even going to come here and say that I understand someone else's trauma. But what I'm saying is, how would it serve you if you were to put that trauma down there and walk forward? And that to me would be powerful. And then that brings me to this part of awareness, because I was sitting with a friend at a cafe and we were talking about life as we often do over a cup of coffee. And we realized that Maslow gave us this hierarchy of needs, which we've spoken about for years and years. And I thank him for that. But part of me is wanting to challenge it. And what I mean by that is that it says that you have to have your physiological needs met for you to go up the pyramid to reach that top where you reach self-realization. But why can't you reverse the pyramid? You really don't need a lot of resources to be self-realized. There could be a person who's homeless, but could be self-realized. There could be a person who's a millionaire and could not be self-realized. And so what I'm asking us to do is, what if you were to start the pyramid with a sense of awareness of who we are, of what we bring to the world, of what we want to bring to the world? Because there's a different channel that we're tuned into the frequency of the universe. And so if you were to think of that, then our awareness becomes the first foundation of the pyramid. And I think the best way, Angela, the most practical way, and I don't want this to sound fluffy to our listeners so that they feel like, oh, they're so inspired, but they cannot do anything because of this conversation, because Utkarsh and Angela were talking on a meta level, which they don't, they're not there yet. And I don't want us to feel like that. So the first and the easiest thing that I want us to do is the 2% rule. And what I mean by that is, if you were to ask yourself, what is 2% of 24 hours? And the first time I did this, I asked my calculator to do that for me. And it comes out, it's 28 minutes. And so what I ask all of us, including my coaches, including myself, including you, Angela, is that let's start to spend 28 minutes in a day 2%, pausing and just tuning in to the frequencies of the universe. And just that 28-minute time, just sitting with yourself, trying to empty your vessel, trying to think about whatever is coming to you in that moment, trying to see if you the path you've been on, will you be proud of that path 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Just reflect and introspect on who you are as a person, on what your life is. And just 28 minutes a day, I think that's more than enough of time. You could even start with 1%, but 2% is ideal to me. And so just start with that. 28 minutes of sitting with yourself, of reading a quotation, and then just sitting in silence. The Gandhi quote, find a Mother Teresa quote, find a Indra Nui quote, find a Gautam Buddha quote. Whoever works, find a Jesus Christ, find something from the Bible, find something from the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever religion, spirituality path you follow, find something, read it, and sit in silence. And let's see what emerges. Let's see the magic being unfolding within you.
I can give 2%. I can give more than 2%, but I can at least start there. And to be introspective could be life-changing in that you will start to think thoughts of your own. You will start to challenge, like we have said, you're just going to start to challenge things that no longer serve. You're going to have your own thoughts. You're going to remember things and think, that really was an important moment in my life, and it doesn't have to be anymore. You can find 28 minutes. And I like the idea of it being all at once. Do you recommend that as well?
I would say so, because you know it's gonna be uncomfortable at first, and you'll be like fidgeting almost, like what the hell am I doing? Like, who is this Utkarsh person? Why am I listening to him? Why am I giving 2% of my? I could have been on Instagram scrolling so many amazing reels. I could have watched that Netflix episode. I could have gone for a walk, a run, whatever you could have done. It's gonna be very uncomfortable at the beginning, but I would really appreciate if we can start as a chunk, because by the time you start to kind of tune into wherever you want to tune into, the time's going to be up. So 28 minutes and then sit through that discomfort, because the trauma ultimately we are carrying, Angela, the grief, even that's making things a little uncomfortable for us. And sometimes we find these outer distractions to scroll the social media, to talk to certain people, to sometimes go out and drink, sometimes smoke and drugs. And there's a lot. Ultimately, what I feel very strongly about is that the noise on the outside is really strong. The noise that we're getting in this world is so strong that it does not let us tune into the frequency of our own soul. And I'm not using the word soul spiritually at all. We're 8 billion. All individuals are very unique. So not going to say that we're talking about that spiritual realm yet. But I think there's this frequency of the human mind. I mean, this simple thought that I put out there, Angela, I think there's a spark within each one of us. And this human life is such a precious gift. And yes, we've been challenged in many ways. And again, not in any way for that 30-year-old listening to this right now, for that 43-year-old listening to this right now. If you're a 22-year-old trying to figure out life in uni, I'm not going to say that I know where you are right now, because you have your unique path. But what I'm going to say is that if you sit with yourself, be uncomfortable for 28 minutes, you'll find out treasures about yourself that no one else could ever find. So there'll be joy. There'll be joy at the end of it.
I feel it would lead to so much realization, but it would also, again, give us that permission for that authenticity. It would give us the ability to see ourselves very clearly and not judge, but just see what happens, what comes up, what thoughts you have. So with that 28 minutes, do you recommend a practice afterwards? I can see myself wanting to journal or take notes or something about what what I thought of or what came forward during that time frame. Do you have a strategy that you use or even that you recommend to pay clients that you would say, what do you do next?
Absolutely. You absolutely should, because what happens is that whatever might have surfaced during that time will disappear even quickly. Because as soon as you go back to the noise is stronger. And I think the only thing that's stronger than the noise is the ability of your pen and a paper. And you don't have to feel compelled to write something every time. You don't have to feel that you write one line or 10 or fill those 2-3 beautiful pages. None at all. If only one word comes to you, just write that word. Maybe through that, and I'm not trying to put words into someone's mouth, but maybe when you sit with yourself for 28 minutes, maybe compassion comes up. Just write that word and then go out and live your life with a lot of compassion for yourself, for people around you, and for this universe. Yeah. And that's where you start. So it could be one word, it could be one sentence, it could be anything. The second thing that I wanted to share is that it's almost like, and this came to me while I'm speaking with you, when there's water that's dirty, if you let that water sit for a few minutes, then everything starts to settle down and then clarity emerges, even in water. I think we're using something very similar here. By sitting for those 28 minutes, as we sit with our thoughts, some thoughts going to settle down. And then you're going to be very vividly able to differentiate that this is what's serving me and this is not. Maybe find a few prompts that you can use, a few questions that today I'm going to reflect on this question, and that really helps. So I think these 2-3 ideas make sense. I'm just going to ask people to also think about, Angela, if that's okay, there's this journal that we've built. And I think it's about 183 pages of exercises, activities, and questions to help us go deeper. And if people want to buy, it's on Amazon, and Angela will put the links on the show notes. But sit with yourself to let that whatever's mixed within you settle down, and for that clarity to emerge, and write whatever seems right to you, because you're not doing this to prove to Utkarsh or to prove to Angela that, see, I did 28 minutes. Again, you're doing it for yourself. It's the ownership is yours and no one else's to take. No one's going to come and ask you, what did you do in your 28 minutes today? I hope that world comes, that we start to ask these questions of each other. But till then, just don't let any pressure be put on yourself and enjoy those 28 minutes.
I love the idea that the clarity will happen just by being still, that the thoughts will calm down. I know for myself, I find myself trying to be more busy to avoid or to compensate or something like that, that the stillness will, in all honesty, it really will provide flow. And we think sitting still and dealing with these emotions or dealing with whatever these thoughts are is too hard. We can't do that. But not dealing with it is also hard and also creating other problems that you're not acknowledging. So being able to sit still and create that practice will actually accelerate healing. It doesn't seem like it would. It seems like it's the opposite, that you're just stewing in your emotions and you're sitting there. But just like what you just described, the junk falls out and you start to see clearly what is really happening and what you're really feeling. And then I'm also a pattern person. I don't take just one event as that's the way it's going to go from now on. I watch for patterns. And so to me, that's the beautiful thing about the journal too, is that you can see in the journal, how often did compassion come up to your example? How often did sadness come up and why?
And see, that's,
go ahead.
That's the beauty of these conversations, right, Angela? Because who thought and it's 6:36 a.m. my time on a Saturday morning as we record this, who thought at 6 a.m. that we'll be talking about this at 6:36? No one. Yeah. And therefore we, again, take a lot of pressure of this man-made concept of the future. Yes, you've got to plan for your family, your life, your career, your children, your finances, your retirement, all of that planning is important. But don't let that planning put pressure on your present. I think that's when we start to get challenged, when the planning and this idea of the future starts to hamper with our present. They come to us when we allow that space to get created. And so future is a very man-made concept because you never get to live in the future. As soon as you arrive, it becomes the present. And that's all you ideally have. I could die at this moment. We could die a little later from now. And this could be the final conversation that we have. And so what I can do is to be my best with Angela, with our listeners, for myself. And that's what brings me joy. And so we'll worry about the future when it comes and becomes the present. I think to dissociate yourself from that future state puts less pressure on you. And we're not performing on this planet, on all that we're doing. Don't worry about the performance piece. Just pour your heart out into things. Just do it for the joy of it. Find that happiness. And I know these are fluffy, fluffy things. Because when you have to pay the bill the next week, when the rent is due in 2 weeks from now, you're scared. And you have to go out there and earn that money. But do it with that sense of that larger purpose even. And yes, I remember that day when there was a moment in my, and I want to make this very, I'm a mortal walking this planet. I'm not some halo around my head and angels descended from the heavens. Nothing like that. There was a day when my bank account showed $2 because the work was happening, but in the accolades of becoming successful as an entrepreneur, I was spending more than I should. And then the work dried up. And then the savings dried up. And so the big realization was that, yes, you got to plan for the future, but you got to also balance out what you want and what you need. And this is all a journey. This is all a journey. We can talk for 5 hours and we'll still keep talking about it's your journey.
How can we get in touch with you? How can we work with you? How can members of the audience find you? Aside from the fact that you live all the way across the world from us, some of us that are listening that are in Australia, so that does help. But how can we work with you and be able to move the conversation forward?
Absolutely. So the joy is that technologies like Zoom and Skype and others allow us to be so beautifully connected, even thousands of miles apart. And for Australia, the PST and the EST time zones work perfectly. And so I've designed my life to be able to serve different parts of the world. Find me on LinkedIn. I think that's the best place where I have full control on the conversation that I have. If you put my name, Angela will put the link in the show notes. You just reach out to me and happy to have any conversations. The journal is available across the world, Angela, and it would be a great starting point for you to be able to, there's the first question that the journal asks is, who are you? And just a reflection on that question will allow you to uncover treasures that you might have never thought about. So feel free to order the journal from Amazon, reach out to me on LinkedIn, and whether you're an individual, a team, or an organization, my hope is that I can help you live with courage while you embrace the fears that come along the way.
Love it. I love it. I am so thankful for our time. Thank you very much for making the time at 5:30 in the morning on Saturday. I love how you say that you already know that the future is bright because you're already in our future.
It was my pleasure, Angela. Thank you for having me here. And hopefully we all can say in a few weeks from now that we've been there, and we've been doing our 28 minutes, because that's what brings us joy. That's what brings us clarity. And have a beautiful rest of your day, wherever you're listening to this.